It's been a while since I've been up here. So I was a bit nervous. I always get nervous before the camera. But anyway, God is good. I had a title for my lesson. And then on the way here, you know, it seems like I always overthink things. I'm thinking about the lesson that I'm about to teach, and I'm panicking because I'm like, oh my God, I don't like that title. I'm not going to use that title. I need a title. So I'm asking God, give me a title. Holy Spirit, I need a title. I need a title. Nothing. I mean, I'm driving down to Wade, and I'm thinking, what am I going to name this lesson? And I mean, I'm literally just tripping, over this title. And just before I got to church, the Holy Spirit dropped it in my spirit. I don't know why he always does this to me. Victory through prayer. I'm teaching on prayer. So that's the name of my, the name of the lesson, Victory through prayer. Let's go into prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, once again, for your great love towards us. Father, you love us so much, and you gave so much so that we could have a relationship with you, so that we could enter into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies that endure forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for being there with us. Father, I just present this lesson to you. I ask, Lord, that you take complete control. Lord, you be the pilot. And Lord, you steer this lesson in the direction that you want it to go. Give your people receiving hearts, Father, to receive it. Help them to hear what they need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, I'm teaching on prayer. And most of you know that I do head up our intercessory prayer group here. And you would think that I would know a lot about prayer, but I'm discovering that, like everyone else, you know, I'm learning too. Just, you know, you could never, when it comes to the word, you never know it all.
That's right.
You never know everything. Just when you think you know this is it, then you know you get a new angle on it. But that's good for us. Okay. Now, I think that I did teach, it could be a while back, I can't remember. I think I taught a while back on prayer, and I think the lesson was why we should pray. You know, I'm sure many of you have heard people ask that question. Why do we have to pray? If God is so sovereign, and if he knows everything and he sees everything, why do we have to pray? Well, I'm going to touch a little bit on that tonight. So, in my opinion, and I'm quite sure you all will agree with me, that now more than ever, we need to pray. I mean, it's crazy the things that are, you know, that are going on in our world today. You know, we have, you know, the heightened level of ungodliness that's occurring all around us. Never in my wildest imagination did I ever imagine that I would see and hear some of the things that I'm seeing and hearing on television. Things that they're attempting to teach our kids in school, you know, trying to steal our, you know, our kids' innocence. I mean, it's crazy. I'm wondering, you know, it's no wonder God says that he will shorten the days. He will redeem the time because the days are evil. I mean, if this is not evil, that what we're seeing going on, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I'm convinced that now more than ever, we as Christians, we as people of God, we need to pray. We cannot, you know, ignore prayer and relegate it to something, you know, as a last resort. You know, that's something we are guilty of, all of us. You know, we'll try everything. We'll call our friends up, tell them, you know, they'll give us advice, you know, whatever. Our grandparents have this remedy, this, that. And then when things are about to come to a head and we start panicking, then all of a sudden we remember, oh, you know, let's pray. You know, that's the first thing that we should do, is pray. There was a guy that used to come on Christian television. I think he went home to be with the Lord. I think his name was Cope, Brother Cope. And he would always say that we should pray about everything. Pray, pray, pray. Pray about everything. Pray before we make that phone call. Pray before we write the, you know, we drop that letter in the mail. Pray before we put in our 2 cents in other people's business. You know, now that we have text messages and email, pray before we click that send. You know, there have been a couple of times when I was in a hurry or I was multitasking or something, and then I just click send, and then I'm like, oh my God, you know, I wish I could take it back. And a couple of times I sent it to the wrong person. So if any one of you receive a text, you know, and I wish that they would have a feature where you could take it back. But, you know, sometimes we just can't take things back. Words that we say, we, you know, we can't take it back. It's like opening a pipe, and once the water comes out, you know, we can't catch it back. And so, you know, Brother Cox, you know, he was saying, and this was probably, I mean, I don't know, probably about 20 years ago. It's been a while, and it somehow it registered with me. Pray about everything. Everything. Pray, pray, pray. I was going to name the lesson that, pray, 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 but the Holy Spirit said victory through prayer. So that's what it is. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that we have to be in a posture of prayer 24/7. That's not what it means, you know. I mean, it's unrealistic to think that people are just going to be on their knees, you know, and praying all the time like that. We can pray anywhere. We can pray in our car. We can pray, you know, when we're doing the dishes, when we're doing laundry, when we're making a bed, you know, when you're in the shower. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the shower and I was talking to God about some things, and He was bringing some things back to my mind, and you know, and I was thinking, why are you telling me about this stuff? I mean, it's been years since I've seen or even heard about some of these people. In less than 2 weeks, I was getting contacted on Facebook. People were looking for me. Yeah, the same people that I was thinking about. You know, God can talk to us anywhere. We can talk to God anywhere. And so, you know, once we should develop that attitude of prayer, develop that habit of prayer, it should be, you know, it should be our first nature to pray, not second nature. It should be our first nature to pray. It's a weapon, an effective weapon that if we learn how to use it, I mean, we can create some havoc in the kingdom of darkness. But that's the very reason why Satan doesn't want us praying.
That's right.
Because he knows. See, we as children of God, we don't realize what a powerful weapon we have in our hands. In our mouth that we can, but we just don't realize it. And the enemy will come and lie to us and tell us, oh, you know, God don't care nothing about, you know, about you. You're wasting your time. He's never going to answer that. That's too insignificant. He has other things to deal with. And, you know, I've heard years ago in my teenage years, and, you know, I was in this church and we were voting on something. I can't remember what it was. And they just couldn't get a clear vote. No, there was no clear winner. And so we voted like 10, 12 times. I mean, it was terrible. And one of the pastors, somebody said something to the pastor, one of the pastors about maybe we should pray. And he said, no, we don't have to bother God about this tiny stuff. You know, but see, that's a lie from the enemy. That's what he tells us. This is too small. This is insignificant. You know, you need to waste your time praying about this. You know, but it's a lie. Listen, anytime you start hearing stuff like that, anytime it's contrary to what you know God would say, you know who is talking to you. And you know why? Because he's afraid of our prayers. Yes, he is. You know, he's a bully, but he shrinks in the presence of prayers. He really does. And he works overtime to convince us that our prayers don't mean anything, that God is never going to answer our prayers. It's not working. We're wasting our time. But that's when we should home in and pray about everything. And you know what? Prayer is talking to God, actually. And we like to complicate it. We need to like to think that we have to get up and all thou and thy and these. And I mean, you know, years ago there was a show on TV. I can't remember the name of it, but that's how they spoke. Thee and I and thy. And I thought that was so hilarious. And I used to tune in just to hear them talk this thing. It sounded so weird. You know, we don't have to talk to God like that. We can talk to him, you know, just like we would communicate with our friends, respectfully, of course, because God is holy. And when we come before him, we want to come respectfully. But, you know, we can be an open book before God. One time, someone got on my nerves really bad. And boy, did I'm telling you, I was so mad. And I wanted to tell this particular person a couple of things. But I mean, I was chewing on this thing for like a few days. And so I came to prayer. Back then it was Miss Katie and Miss Sarah. And I stormed in here like a real crazy lady. And I said to him, think Bonnie might remember. I said, I need prayer. I said, I need prayer. You all got to pray for me. And I told them what was going on and how angry, you know, this person had made me. And they laid hands on me and they prayed. And just like that, that anger just dissipated. But, you know, I had told God, I said, Lord, if I could convince you to just close your ears for a few seconds, and this wouldn't be recorded, this would not be recorded in eternity anywhere. I said, this is what I would tell that person. I told the Lord, blah, 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 you know, I would tell him, this is what I would tell him. But only because of you, Lord. I'm not going to tell him that. But you know what? God already knew what I was meditating. He already knew what I was thinking. So when we come before God, we don't have to come, acting like we're so holy and righteous. We can be an open book. That's what God wants. He wants us to be honest with him because he already knows what we're thinking anyway. He already knows what we're feeling. We can communicate with him, talk to him, express ourselves. Maybe not quite like I did, you know. But I mean, I was so angry, I had to let it out. And I said, Lord, if I can't talk to you about this, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so, and you know, you may not like that. So, but you know what? That is what God wants. He wants us to be honest with him. He's looking for honesty. You know, he doesn't want us to cover up how we're feeling. And so, you know, that is how we can pray, we can express ourselves, express our anger, express our shortcomings, express our desires, you know, express, you know, whatever it is we're going through. I went to the store one day and there was this beautiful dress. I mean, oh my God, this dress was beautiful. Oh, I'm not going to say it was to die for, but it was a beautiful dress. But when I look at the price, I'm like, oh my God. And I said, you know, I was praying. I said, Lord, this is all your fault because you made me like this. If you hadn't made me with these expensive tastes, I wouldn't be. I said, Lord, why is it that everything that I'm flipping over, you know, costs an arm and a leg, you know? I said, you know, you've given me champagne taste, but I have Kool-Aid money. I said, Lord, you got to help me. But you know, God knew. He knows. God knows me like a book. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows each and every single one of you better than you know yourselves. He knows what you're going to think before you even think it. So we can be honest when we come to God and express, you know, what it is we're feeling. We can, and God wants that. He wants us to communicate with Him. You know, He wants that communication with His children. In Genesis, the Bible said, in the cool of the day, God would, you know, would come into the garden to communicate. He could have fellowship with Adam and Eve. Of course, in this one particular time, they were hiding because they had done something they shouldn't have done. They had disobeyed. They had listened to the devil, and they had eaten of that tree they shouldn't have eaten of. And they could feel, you know, the separation that took place. But God came looking for them. He wanted to talk to them. He wanted to have fellowship with them, and they were hiding. How many times is God wanting, waiting for us to get to that place, you know, where He can communicate with us, and we're off busy doing other things. You know, we allow ourselves to get distracted. Have you ever noticed whenever you want to pray, or you kneel down to pray, you start thinking about this and that and this bill, and oh, I need to go put this load in the laundry, and you know, or you know, there are so many distractions. Do you think it just happens by accident? No, that's a design of the enemy to distract you, because he doesn't want you to pray. He hates it when we pray, but that's where our victory lies, in prayer, in communicating with God, in being, you know, having fellowship with Him. That's how we grow stronger. That's where we gain our strength from, through prayer. That's where God will reveal things to us. One time I was on my deck, and I was praying. I'd taken Matt to school, and I went back home, and I was on my deck, you know, and I was going back and forth and praying about a bunch of stuff, and I was doing a confession that pastor had given us. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not moved by what I see. You know, I'm moved by the word of God. And instantly the Holy Spirit interrupted me. And he said, you're moved by the what word? Which what word are you moved by? How are you moved? And I stood there and I'm thinking, hey, I never thought about that. And he revealed to me how I can, you know, incorporate scriptures. Instead of just saying the confession like that, I am, you know, I'm moved by the word of God. You know, I can say, I, you know, greater is He that's within me than he that is in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we can put the scripture, that's, you know, right. I am the head and not the tail. Uh-huh. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, I thank you that I can do this because you strengthen me. You know, yeah. We don't have to quote it word for word like the scripture. That's but right. we can paraphrase it. This is, you know, God knows, and he began to teach me. You know, the Holy Spirit is an amazing teacher. But the reason he was able to reveal that, you know, piece of nugget to me is because I was communicating. Uh-huh. I was praying. Uh-huh. You know, if I was busy doing something else, you know, and everything, you know, even if he had spoken, I may have missed it. You know, I may not have heard it. God is waiting for us to set aside that time where we can pray, where we can have fellowship, where we can commune with him. He wants to reveal things to us. He has so much to, you know, to teach us. Another time, I was on my bed and I was reading the word, and I think it was 2 Thessalonians, don't quote me in it, I'm bad with scripture references, but it was in one of the Thessalonians, and I think it was 1:6, maybe somebody can look it up. And it says, this was the scripture that just jumped out at me. He said, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to those who trouble you. And it was just, you know, just highlighted to me, and I remember, wow, this is amazing, and I jump off the bed like I had a jolt of electricity or something. You know, when God reveals something to you, you just can't stay still. You know, and you have to tell. You have to call somebody. I had a friend, she's gone on to be with the Lord. I call her up and tell her, guess what God told me? And I would share with her, and sometimes she can receive it and sometimes she can't. I've learned that sometimes, you know, the revelation that you get, and when you share, and you know, another person may not be able to receive it right then because they may not be at that place, at that, you know, in that particular point in their lives. And, you know, he said it's a righteous thing. It is a righteous thing to God to recompense tribulation to those who trouble us. When people trouble us, you know, we're God's people. We are his hands and his feet here in the earth. We represent him. That's why Satan hates us, because we represent him. You know, God's goodness is extended to us all the time. His mercy is unending. Satan messed up, as far as I know, one time, and he got the boot. He got kicked right out of heaven. We can sin empty time, and God will forgive us as long as we confess our sin. You know, he loves us. That's how much he loves us. The angels can't figure out why God loves us so much. I think that there's a reference in Psalms that says that. They're looking into this thing, you know. What's with this thing with God and these human beings? I mean, we're precious. We're special. We're priceless. God gave his only begotten son so that we could live, so that we could have everlasting life. And so when, you know, when the enemy come against us, you know, God will recompense. God will bring tribulation to them. You know, when we cry out to him, God will, you know, God, he will back us up. He will answer our prayers. And he wants that communication. You know, he wants to have that fellowship with us. He's waiting for us to come to him. He's waiting for us, you know, to express ourselves to him. Adam and Eve, God came, you know, to in the garden to have fellowship with them, and they were hiding because, you know, they had messed up. All throughout the Old and New Testament, there are different references of the, you know, to the prophets and people of God who communicated with God through prayer. That's how we communicate with God, through prayer, through praying, okay? It's something that we should do all the time. The book of Psalms, that's a book of prayer. Psalm 61, 1 and 2, David prayed this prayer. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the depths of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David was going through, obviously, a difficult period, and he was crying out. He said, Lord, hear my cry, attend unto my prayer. You know, I've been there a couple of times when I ask God, God, don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you see what's happening? You know, years ago, I was going through some stuff with my mom, and she was alive. And I was just so stressed out about this whole thing. And I was going to pick Petla up from kindergarten, and I was driving, and I said, Lord, don't you see what's happening? Don't you see all these phone calls that I'm getting? Lord, I can't sleep. Don't you care? Don't you care about me? I was just having a spiritual tantrum in the car. So, you know, I went and I picked her up, and the next day I decided some friends of mine wanted to start a business, and they didn't have all the money, and they, you know, they appealed to me, and I didn't have all the cash, but I had jewelry. I had gold, lots of gold jewelry. And I decided, okay, I'm going to pawn this jewelry, and I'm going to, you know, lend you all this money. You all can pay me back. And they agreed. So the next day I decided I'm going to go get my stuff out of the pawn shop, because I don't know if these people is going to, you know, when they're going to pay me. So I showed up at the pawn shop, and I looked in the you know, the glass case, and there was all this costume, ugly costume jewelry. I mean, just ugly. No gold, no silver. I'm like, what's going on here? And the guy looked at me and he said, lady, you are so lucky. You are so lucky. And I thought, okay. And I said, I came to redeem my stuff. And he was just looking at me like I was an angel or something. You are so lucky. You are so lucky. So, so lucky. So finally I said, why do you keep saying that? What's going on? And he said, look, you just don't know. He said, see all this, you know, costume jewelry here. He said, you know, his friends and stuff had to give him all this stuff because they, you know, just so they can have something in the showcase, because the day before, some guys held up the pawn shop. and took all the jewelry, cleaned everything out, and forced them to open the safe. And they cleaned everything out the safe, except for one envelope.
Yeah.
And guess whose stuff was in it?
Right. Yeah.
So I listened to him and I said, what time did this happen? And he said between 11:30 and 12 o'clock. And that's around the time when I used to leave home to go pick Petal up from kindergarten because she got out at 12 o'clock. So around that time, that's when I was praying and asking God if he didn't care. Don't you care? I mean, I was just having a fit. And God showed his care. He showed his goodness to me the very next day. He said, I can't believe it. They cleaned everything out except for this one envelope that have your stuff. Well, let me tell you, I never was happy to pay some money real quick and grab my things and get out of there. And, you know, and as I walked out, I mean, I was in awe of God's goodness. See, I was communicating, even though I was, you know, pouting and throwing a tantrum, I was talking to God. You know, I was expressing what I was feeling and asking him, why don't you do something? Don't you guys feel like that sometimes when you're going through a difficult time and you're praying and it seems like God isn't answering and you're wondering, Lord, are you really listening? But God sees everything. He knows everything. Nothing goes, you know, nothing gets past him. And he heard me and he said, okay, I'm going to show you my goodness. And he showed me that, I mean, I hadn't thought about that in years. I mean, literally years. And it was not part of my notes. But maybe somebody needed to hear that. We have a good God. And, you know, God is patient with us. He's kind. Even when, you know, we're angry and we're acting like a bunch of spoiled kids like I was that day, God will, he hears and he knows and he'll extend his hand of mercy and goodness towards us. You know, so don't ever think that you can't talk to God about anything or something is too big, you know, for you to pray about or too insignificant. God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from his children. Now, he may not answer us the way we want him to because he's God and he's a sovereign God. I don't want to get ahead of my lesson, but I'm running short of time, but let me get this out. David cried out, you know, when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Jacob, we all know the story about Jacob. You know, he prayed a prayer in Genesis 32:11, and he said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. See, Jacob, back in those days, he was a deceiver. And he stole the blessing that was supposed to be Esau's. And then when Esau came and found out what he had done, Esau was so mad, Esau threatened to kill him. Esau said, as soon as you see our dad is dead, I'm gonna fix you. And so his mother sent him away to his uncle, and he was there for a long time. But eventually he wanted to go home, and he was on his way home, but he was afraid. He had this fear that, you know, he kept remembering, he no doubt heard Esau's threat ringing in his ears. And he cried out to God and he said, deliver me from the, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, because I'm afraid of him, you know. And he cried out. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's what the word says, but power, love, and a sound mind. And even though he did Esau wrong, God was going to bless him anyway. He didn't have to see Esau's blessing. The blessing, God had a plan for Jacob. See, a lot of times we jump the gun because we don't pray. We don't seek God's guidance. We don't seek his counsel. We don't find out, you know, is this the right direction to go? And so he jumped the gun and he went and stole the blessing. And then, you know, he had to go into exile. you know, and Enoch had this threat playing in the back of his ear, what Esau said, and he cried out, and, you know, God fixed it up so that him and his brother made up. There was no war. You know, isn't God good?
Yeah.
Then there was Daniel. Daniel 6:10. This is the NIV. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. See, there are some people in around Daniel who were obviously jealous of him. And they didn't like that he was getting all this favor from the king and the promotions and stuff. You know, when God is blessing you, you can expect the enemy to stir up some people to cause trouble, you know. And so they came up with this story. We all know the story. They went and told the king, that they want to honor him. But the king didn't know it was a trap, that no one should pray to any god or anyone, ask any petition for 30 days, except unless they ask him. And the thing sounded good to the king, and he agreed to it. And the reason they did that, it was a trap. They knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. And they decided, since we can't find fault with him any other way, we're going to find it in against his God. And so, you know, they set this trap. And so they were obviously just tiptoeing probably around Daniel's house to see, okay, you know, what is he going to do? Is he going to pray? Is he going to stop praying? But the Bible said, no, he just continued praying three times a day. Three times. Some of us could barely get one time out. You know, in the midst of adversity, Daniel prayed. He didn't run off and hide anywhere. He continued his communication with God. He continued praying, you know. And we all know the story. You know, the guys that set the trap, you know, that anyone who broke this rule and prayed to any god, or ask anything of a god beside the king, should be cast into the den of lions. They ended up in the lion's den. You know, when you dig a pit, be careful, you might fall into it. You know, we shouldn't set traps and snares in front of people. Daniel continued to pray. He didn't give up, and he had the victory. God turned the situation around. And the men that wanted to see him be torn apart from the lions, they were the ones that the lions had a feast on. But why Daniel prayed, I believe it was because he prayed. He did not give up. He didn't run and hide. Oh, I better not pray, you know, and go into the closet, shut the door, you know. No, he prayed by his open window. And he did it three times a day. He had every confidence in his God. And when we have the kind of confidence that Daniel had, even in the midst of adversity, even when people try to set us up, you know, lay snares before us and try to overthrow us and bring us harm, through our prayers, through our faithfulness, through our commitment, through our fellowship with God, we will gain the victory. And I have lots more, but my time is up. If this lesson has been a blessing, and if you want to hear more, come back next week.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.